going to look at Jesus saves over the next few weeks. And the important thing of this is that we celebrate this amazing Savior that we have. We must never move far from him when we preach, when we, you know, think about life in the kingdom. We're going to break bread just now. You're seeing the tables up here. We're going to pray for folk. We're very aware that, you know, life is not easy. We still live in a fallen world. God has given us an amazing, amazing salvation in Christ. Not only can we live in the reality of forgiveness of sin, a new life in Christ, and anticipating a day when Christ will return, when the dead are raised, and we'll be raised with that first group, those who are in Christ, and there'll be nothing, no sickness, no sin, no pain, nothing except celebration. And I'm looking forward to that, I really am. Just thinking about what we're going to talk about this morning, and it's interesting how need draws us to Jesus. Who kind of had this deep urge inside of them that it's not right, there's got to be more to life. And then you kind of looked, or somebody spoke to you about the Lord. Need drew you to him. Need, in the Bible, we see a man who was paralyzed and his friends brought him to Jesus. Interesting story, because they break the roof, they lower him down. What does Jesus say to him when he lands there? Everybody knows. This guy's got a reputation. He is paralyzed. He needs healing. What did Jesus say to him? Sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. Sin no more. And then everybody gasped. Who is this to forgive sins? He's announcing that Christ forgives sins. That's what salvation is all about. That's what we've sung. Jesus saves, has saved, justified, is saving, sanctification, will save, glorification. And so he's announcing to that man who's paralyzed and to everybody else that Christ has come to save sins. Of course, he was blown away. He was expecting healing first. There may be something after that. And then Jesus says, pick up your bed and walk. It's another beautiful story about this woman. We don't know whether she's a prostitute or whatever, but she's caught in adultery. That's, you know, they look, being involved in that and having to sleep with a conscience that constantly pounds you, and that poor self-image when you walk through the market and people snigger, there she goes kind of thing. The one with the reputation, the tarnished reputation. And before they can stone her, Jesus kind of sets her free. There cannot be a greater, for me, example of the love of Christ. And so he restores the need in her life, and that's her identity. He kind of shows her that there's value in her. She's not identified by her sin. She's not identified by her past. And the critics around her, we would have been one of those, I'm sure. They would have said, stone her. Apply the law, you know, immediately. And Christ would say, no, there's something greater than the law, and it's called I will save. And he restores her identity. And just before she leaves, what does he say to her? Sin no more. In other words, salvation. So we come to Christ because of a need. I remember kind of desperately being in this place where I knew there's got to be more to life. Kind of I tried everything you could smoke and drink and pop and so on, and kind of those things last a few days, give you a bad headache, and they make you broke. And I kind of looked at, you know, rebellion as a way of life, you know, anti-everything. Kind of coming from a dysfunctional family, it's like you just see everything dysfunctional. There was no top or bottom. There was no right or wrong. There was no banks of the river. And one night, God got hold of me, and I knew there's got to be more to life. Amazing, just at the same time, somebody invites me to a church meeting, and I'm sitting at the back thinking, oh, what am I doing here? I sat very close to the exit in case they let the dove loose, or there was some, you know, they kind of try to get my money out my pocket. I was out of there. I was going to be gone. And then he said this one thing: there are people here today that need to be born again. That kind of intrigued me. And as he explained the scripture, went to the front, The need drew me in, and I got salvation. There's nothing more to Christianity. This world is full of need. And the only way we can attempt to kind of get to a place where there's going to be any meaning and a sense of any future and a promise of more to come is in Christ. And it's through being born again. Jesus saves. It's not some slogan the church has picked up. This is the very work of Christ, is he comes and he saves. I know we're going to celebrate this little baby in the manger and the rest of it. He's not there. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in the place of all authority and power. I love that. And we are seated there with him, those who accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And so his work on the cross has brought us justification. And it's a technical term. It is. It's a legal term. Kind of read up a little bit about it and try to understand it. There's various courts that one can go to. The local magistrate, it's easy. You haven't paid your fine, $200, $2,000, or $50 on the side, and you can get out of this. It's easy. Then there's a higher court and a higher court, and then the constitutional court, and that's when you start biting your nails, because now you're in big trouble. But there's a court above all of those, and that's where Jesus Christ presides, the court of heaven. And there will be an accounting. There will be a kind of payment, a punishment for those things that we got wrong. Except in Christ, he becomes the punishment. And so in that court, as my name is mentioned, he says, forgiven. Isn't that awesome? And justified, he's justified. You don't have to pay a price. I never deserved that. None of us did. These are the truths in Christ. In Christ. In Jesus. It's in no other way. It's not because I'm in a building or I was born a Christian or in some way, you know, I kind of think of myself as righteous. It's only in Jesus. And the way I receive this free gift of you are now declared sin-free. You are free of the punishment of sin. You are justified. The only way I receive it is to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. So the big question is, who today is your Lord and who is your Savior? And if he isn't, then something else has come in. That's what this message is all about. So there is nothing more in Christianity. Yes, once we are born again and we've been justified and we've received this free gift of grace, we're going to grow. Sanctification. And of course, as Christians, those who are born again, when Christ comes back, there's no worry. There will be this great white throne judgment and all of humanity will pass before Jesus sitting on the throne. And there's only one way we are declared not guilty. And that is when we've given our hearts to him as our Lord and Savior. Is he your Lord and Savior? It's wonderful to see a few people writing down the scriptures. Did you notice at the front today, there were three young girls. Two in pink dresses. They must have been sisters. And there was another one. They had pens and notebooks. And they were writing. Your lesson was too short, Gabby, wherever you are. They never had time enough to write it down. So you can go and see Gabby. She's over there and write it down. This is important because this is what it's all about. It's about he has justified us. It's amazing. Can you imagine standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords while he sits on his white throne judgment? And they say, Adele Herbert. Yes, I tell you. Ek gaan skrik. I will be scared. Just at the awesomeness of the moment. But knowing that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I can walk up to there with confidence. And he declares over my life, not guilty. That's just going to be a reward time. It's going to be him handing out a reward. Because of the sanctification process, I'm not working for my salvation. No, I'm fulfilling the call of God on my life and seeing others impacted with this gospel. And accordingly, as I've used my talent, I will be rewarded. There we have been saved, am being saved, will be saved. And in the process, the very heart of God is revealed. In it all, you know, we can mistake it for, he does act like a judge. He very definitely is righteous in what he does. He's unshakable, unmovable. But the motivation, he's a loving father. And you know what? When he looked down at this world with this corruption and rebellion and all the rest of it, he chose to love us. That's what drove him. That's what inspired him. That's what motivated him. As he's, for God so loved the world. And so those are the four things that we kind of look at when we understand the gospel. Is, do you have a past that you can say, I have been saved? There was a day where you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. If you haven't, today I would like to declare is that day where you, with your mouth, can declare and in your heart believe that Christ is your Lord and Savior. That is the most important day any of us can ever experience. And so we're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to break bread. But breaking bread is a celebration of the blood and the body of Christ. In other words, his finished work on the cross. But we break bread to remember. And if you don't know Christ, you've got nothing to remember until you receive Christ. So we're going to give you an opportunity to receive him. And so I am being saved. Those who are saved, we've been saved. There's a process to work. We live in a fallen world. It doesn't matter whether you're born again or not. After you're born again, you're going to carry on sinning. Hopefully not, but the temptation is there. And we need to know how to apply this gospel. This whole life is going to be a challenge. It's either he's Lord or he's not Lord. That's the battle. It's the battle of the throne. And we need to make sure that we constantly, through obedience, give over to him. And so it comes to the end. The glorification is the total healing of everything. In other words, the very fact that God saved me is I'm going to live forever with him in no pain, no suffering, nothing. And so the gospel is a message of healing. God healing the world of sin. God healing the world of identity and separation. God healing the world of all of the consequence of sin. And so today we can trust him for healing. If you're there and there's an issue in your life that you need prayer for, today we're going to pray that you get healed, that God reaches out. I've got a family member that's going through incredibly difficult sickness right now. And it's gripped our family. It's focusing us. You know, it's demanding attention. And the answer we have to all of that is Jesus loves you and Jesus heals. And of course, like with the man who was paralyzed and with the woman who was caught in adultery, it's amazing there's no man caught in adultery. I'd like to know what happened to him. He needs to be saved as well, actually more than she did. Anyway, that's a point aside. It just kind of occurred to me now. Both of them go and sin no more. Most important thing. I know you have a need for something to change. But first point, you need to be born again. That's the most important point to healing. And then we're going to pray. And we're going to trust God for healing. God is an awesome God. He's a God full of grace. He's a God, for me, proacts. That's what love is about. He didn't just say, okay, well, let's see where they go. No, he had appointed salvation. He had appointed his son. The Godhead decided that Christ would die. And it pleased the Father to bruise the son. Isn't that amazing? Yes. And him who knew no sin became our sin so that we could be free of sin. That's the ultimate healing. And so, let us, when we understand the message of the cross, understand the importance of this one day, this one moment where we receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And then let the same way in which we went to Christ and we received him, let's carry on that way. That's the sanctification process. And then let's anticipate this hope of a second coming of Christ. And the fact that the only way you can die in this life is knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And let's trust Him for healing, because the cross is all about healing. Heaven touches earth with the power of God. Isn't He awesome? I'm just so thankful for Him. I really am, in every single way. Let me read a scripture, and then we're going to break bread. Will the worship team, will the musos? So we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one. That's why every one of us needs salvation. It says in 1 Timothy 1:15 from the NIV, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am the worst. Isn't that interesting? And unless we can come to the place and recognize we are the worst sinners. That's it. You are the worst sinner. I am the worst sinner in my eyes. Because I know the evil I can do. And so for me, that's the process, is recognizing I am a sinner. And then recognizing I need to be born again. I've used this illustration before, but I came from visiting somebody. I was driving down Broadway, whatever it's called now, I can't remember. No, you don't remember. Anybody else? Broadway, there we go. And there was a famous cop who sat there. He used to occupy three seats. That's how large he was. And across the road, there was a roadhouse. And it was known if you got caught speeding, he would help you kind of pay this fine by buying him breakfast or lunch or or supper, or providing him with the bucks to do this. Anyway, I got caught speeding. Yes, and I tell you, and I thought, no, it's wasting time and it's wasting money. And he kind of leans over, and it's kind of close to lunchtime, and I know what's coming because others have told me, you know, the way he deals with this. And so as he leaned over, he looked at the passenger seat, and there was my Bible. And so he says, oh, a Bible. So I said, yep. He said, what's your job? I said, pastor. Ah, pastor speeding. That's the favorite one. Sinner, prove guilty. You're worse to them. Yep. You know, that's it. Give me my ticket. You know, kind of thing. Now, I'm thinking any minute now he's going to say, but it's easy. Just buy me a toasted bacon and egg and chips times four, and then, you know, we'll sort this all out. Now, see him stand up, and he's got this massive grin on his face. He says, I have waited my whole life for this moment. And he says, you are forgiven. Yay. Thanks, buddy. So how do you do this? You don't bribe. You can't buy your way into heaven. The only way you can do this, it says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to clean us from all unrighteousness. And in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So let's bow our heads just for a moment, please. So important. I remember speaking to family members after I'd been born again. They were just blown away. They couldn't understand this. I was blown away. It's the joy, the sense of gratitude at what God had done for me, free, a gift of grace, justified. And so here's the good news. We can do it for the first time, or if somehow you've kind of slipped away and gone on some kind of meander, you can come back today. Same verse, 1 John 1:9. Mark that one in your Bible, in your memory. If I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to clean me from all unrighteousness. So if you would like to receive Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior right now, if you wouldn't mind standing where you are, or if you'd like to say, I just want to make this recommitment. I want to be sure. Then stand where you are, and I'm going to lead you in prayer. Please do that. Don't let this be something that I'll try again later, or maybe at another time. Awesome. Somebody's standing already. Somebody else. There's a couple of people standing. Just so important. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. Just anybody else. Yeah, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Man. Those who are standing, this is the prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the free gift of grace in Jesus. I confess with my mouth that you are the Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Please pray this. I accept you into my life as Lord and Savior. From this moment onwards, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I thank you for the free gift of salvation. Amen.